When you have a son, hey, you're like, Bangen and Toan, yes, I'll be heartbroken. I'll be lost for us. The moment you have a daughter, you're like, because that's the mentality we've had. You know, that's the mentality we've had as boys. So your biggest fear becomes boys. Then I realized, I can't be the dad who pulls out a shotgun and intimidates my daughter's boyfriends and does all these things. You know, like the classical scene you see in Bad Boys. You know, I can't be that dad.
Hi, my name is Habu Lora, and my guest today is Mpo Pops, a South African comedian, man. And today we're just jumping straight into just how to be present with your kids. We're back. My name is Habu Lora. This thing, this podcast, this show, this whatever you want to call it, I'm talking to dads about being dads because I'm a dad. And today, hey man, how do I even describe this guy? This is going to be an interesting one.
Take your time. We're here.
I met this dude. I've been watching him. He's the insurance guy that you see on the billboards and in the adverts. He's also the guy that makes you chuckle a bit in his one-man shows. I traveled with him to another country, which was a different adventure.
Yeah. Also, don't downplay the country. Don't make it seem
We went to Portugal. Together.
Or Zimbabwe or something.
Yeah, no, we went to Portugal.
A real country with...
Just for a music festival, you know, just,
visas and everything.
You know. I'm joined today by Mpo Pops.
So that's where you're going to add in the applause, love.
I hope so.
Please. Yeah, no. It needs to be grand.
Yes. Okay. What's up, bro?
I'm good. How are you, my brother?
Aye, man. It's all right.
Are you delicious?
I'm delicious.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So, you're a father, Munna.
Hey, Munna. Hey, I'm a father. And not just any father. I'm 7 years in the game.
Yeah, man.
It's been 7 years since I was not a father.
What changed?
We need a support team.
No, it's needed.
Hi, I'm Mpo. It's been 7 years since I was a normal human.
Yeah.
What changed? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Did you change?
Yes. Let me start off by saying, because you know that's a dope question. What changed? People don't ever ask that question.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I became successful when I became a dad. Because everything changed. There was nothing scarier than finding out that I was going to be a dad. From the day I found out that I was going to be a dad, up until my child was born, I think that's when literally my career turned and changed. That's when I made it, actually, you know, because I was...
Focused.
I was focused. I was determined. I was 25 years old. I was driving a Taz. I was renting an apartment.
Had a motor.
I was just like, I can't bring a human being into this life. Something needs to give, something needs to change. What kind of a father do I want to be? And then I started walking that path. I was like, okay, this is who I want to be.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm going to be this person.
Sure.
There was a wake-up call for me. And so to answer your question, everything changed, dog.
Yeah. Now I actually just tried to go back to when I had my kid, my first one. What changed for me? Not a lot changed for me. I think like I just had less time on my hands.
Yeah.
Less sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because he caught me at a time where either way, anyway, I was trying to just make it because I was still doing like an internship somewhere and I was about to leave to start my business. And he caught me when I was taking the dive. To starting my business. So like he caught me right there when I took the dive. So when my wife told me, I had probably just registered my business a month before, and then my wife told me she's pregnant. And I was like,
market color business. man,
and now so I was just like, yo, okay, so it's real. Bro, like it was to the point where now it's like the memories are coming back.
Yeah.
I remember I was working from home. Holding the little man in my hand while I'm sending in a proposal.
Yep.
And then Ndanga's crying. I can't handle it.
You know, you must take calls.
Because we're still hustling at this time, you know? Like now, I'm like, I'm taking this guy to go be breastfed by the wife. When I'm like,
it seem like you are somewhere else. That you fucking want to be over your breastfeeding.
Joe, anyway, yeah, no, it just took me back now.
No, but you know, like, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. Where you go, you know, this dude came into, and that's what I'm saying is that this dude came into your life.
Yeah.
When you were trying to make, and that's the thing with kids. Kids come at any time. In the world we live in, we would like to be prepared.
Mm.
You know, we would like to have traveled, have had
everything, all your ducks in a row.
All your ducks in a row. But life doesn't work like that. Mm. You know? Life does not work like that. I know we're advanced and we're at a different point in life. But to be honest with you, like, I can count on one hand, how many people I know who were planned?
Yeah,
no, this, you know, we're gonna eat our veggies. And we're gonna
close our eyes.
We were not planned. You were not planned. You. It was apartheid. Bullets were flying.
I'm comfortable.
You know, majority of the humans on this planet were not planned. So you can't prepare to be a parent. But there are things that you can do to
make
sure.
And you said something to me, like, just offline, that were you a father when you became a father? As in, like, did you feel like, yeah, I know, I'm a timer, I'm so well, I've got this thing. And I think, like, it's a good perspective.
Exactly.
Because when it happens, you'll be able to handle it.
No amount of preparation or reading or books or whatnot will prepare you, the individual, to be a father. It's just, it's like when a bird learns to fly.
Sure.
There's no other bird going, and then flap the left,
yes,
and then no balancing the right.
Sure.
And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that leap of faith and then whoop, there,
bro,
gliding.
I was at your one-man show.
Yeah.
Oh man, I need to get that DVD. If you make a DVD, because, bro, I have not related to something that much in a long time.
Yeah.
And when I mean relate, you were talking about the dynamic of your daughter and the language and the culture and the traditional stuff.
Yes,
where you, like, dude, you have to teach her and she has, like, these innocent reactions to, I don't know how things are done, or hey,
what's ancestors?
Leave the sheep alone.
Why are you guys killing the sheep? Come on.
Like, and bro, I was like cracking out of my skull because I was just like, bro, we are in the same boat. And I think, like, most young guys, black guys, if you're in, like, Johannesburg, and you're raising your kid here, more likely than not, you are in a relationship where you're raising your kid in a multicultural space.
Yes.
Where they're in an English school, where not Akasi.
Yes.
Or you come from Venda or Polokwane or wherever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're more likely than not to have a partner that is a different culture, different language.
Yep.
And then you have to make it work somehow.
Somehow.
So we bring our kids into this, like, melting pot of stuff.
Yes. And we just, and as, like, selfishly, we expect them to just latch on.
Bro.
It doesn't work like that.
Bro.
There's a reason why, Rona, we had the ability to be Model C and Hood.
Yes.
Because we went to Model C, but we stayed in the
room. Yes.
So we were two people every day.
Hundreds.
You go to school, you're like, hey, John, what's up? What's happening? Did you see the rugby last night? And then you get home, you're like, ah, Maria, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was our everyday lives.
Sure.
So as young black parents who have gone through that sort of generation,
sure,
we are now in a generation where we have access.
Yeah.
So we live in suburbia. Our kids go to schools in suburbia. Our kids are more mixed, and they, you know, like, our kids, we were taught black and white. I think we were the last generation that was sort of taught black and white.
Yeah.
Our kids are generally like, they don't see that.
Nah.
They just, You know, they're like, why do you keep saying black? It's brown.
Yeah. Bro.
I'm brown.
I got hit with that line so bad, bro. I was just like, what the heck?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so for me, and that's why I say the struggles of our generation, even though it's not like Malume Pirates, who was obviously, you know, you know when you recognize a face.
Guys, Malume Pirates is the tech guy that's with us right now. You know, Humut is here just helping us, but I'm a bugger near dying here because he's wearing a Bucks shirt.
Malume Pirates is the class of 76, you know? He has different struggles. He knows the smell of tear gas. Yeah. We don't have those. We don't have those struggles, you know what I mean? Our struggles were different. Our struggles were because of our parents and the generation before, we were allowed the privilege to go to Model C.
Sure.
And to experience this life, to get this advantage, this competitive advantage to go to these schools, even though we were still hood kids.
Yeah.
You know? So we grew up differently.
So now,
and our struggles were different. And now the struggles of our kids are different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're in a position where we have to still teach them how to be black. And that was my message at my show, is that I know my daughter's black, but she's not black.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's black, but she's not black. And as parents, as hardworking, hustling, business starting, entrepreneurial parents, we sometimes don't. And like you said, our partner, like for me, my partner's from Zimbabwe, right?
Yeah.
So here's my dynamic. Also the dynamics of family.
Mm.
So my dynamic right now is that my daughter, myself and my baby mama, I'm Tswana, she's Zulu, but we always spoke to each other in English.
Bro, that's me.
You know what I mean?
I'm Pedi, she's Zulu.
Yes.
Same vibe.
So English was the common let's speak. So even with our child, she was raised in an English speaking home. Not by purpose, but because that was just, I guess laziness just makes you speak that, you know, the common language that we
And then would you say like, sorry to disturb you, it's like, I know like guys, and I know me, my timer tried to drill this thing in my system, it didn't work, is, no, your child must speak your language. You as the father, what? And there, that's the message that they drill across to you.
It's not just our father.
It's your responsibility as the man in the house to make sure that your child grows up and knows the culture and they speak the language. Because
it's not just our parents.
Bro.
It's the cashier at Pick and Pay. The cashier at Pick and Pay will see you. She'll say, "Hey, okay." And then she'll see your child and she'll go, "Hey, Nana, how are you?" Or, "Dumela, Nana."
Hey.
And then your child will pass test one.
"Dumela."
Oh.
"Kwena mang."
Oh, after that.
"Kena iman." "Hey, Papa, how was Polo reketing today?"
Huh?
I don't know what she's saying. Dad, what is she saying?
Bro.
You know what I mean? Like, we were recently at, you know, a family gathering. Go, moms.
Yeah.
And my son... You know, like the same vibe, Tovela.
Mm-hmm.
They get it, okay, Tovela. Yeah. Confidence.
Confi.
Confidence. Like I wanna Rohan.
Mm-hmm. Aye, third gear.
Then, ooh, Papa. So, let's try go high.
And yeah, and they don't answer immediately. They just
they're like, "What are you saying?"
What?
That's my son. It's like, "I don't understand what you're saying." And then I'm like,
and then your family looks at you like, "Ah, utilele makhoa."
Then they're like, "Yo," that's when the elders start giving up. "Yo, those looks, Papa, you'll feel them." And I mean, I think like that's a thing, bro.
It is a thing. You know, it's like one of the things I was talking about was we have, you know, msebenzi.
Yeah.
We have rituals, traditional and cultural rituals that we do. And you'll find someone like my grand, because Rona, we do this thing where hago tribile or whatnot, everyone has a turn to speak.
Mm.
As in, this is your chance, you speak with your ancestors.
Mm.
So, you know, and not just from Imani, my daughter's point of view, but even from my other cousins, Halina Gabola Khorbabu, "Malume, I just wanted just to say, you know, thank you for..." And then my grand will be in the background.
Hey, Madlozi, how is this koa?
Stop. now we stuck having that debate, man. during the sensitive.
Now they're caught in between this thing.
Please, my kir ubua agir.
Yeah.
Utla tola mututlam translate lang.
Yeah.
Ah man, man.
So now, bro, and I mean, the dynamic is that, you know, you as a man are raising your daughter. I always find the dynamic of father to daughter as this, dude, it's like this treasure that you, it's a sensitive thing.
Dude,
you hold it with like delicate hands because that kind of relationship models a lot given where we are now.
Yeah.
You know, like the men are trash thing is a thing.
It's a thing. It's a real thing.
And
you
know, where do you sit with that, bro? Like,
look, for me, I realized from a long time ago, even before I actually became a parent, like on my journey to becoming a parent, I realized, you know, dad's biggest worry, like it's going to sound so weird and hectic and whatever, but a dad's biggest worry, a dad who's a dad to a daughter's biggest worry is boys. Let's be honest. When you have a son, you're like, Bangen and Toan, I will be heartbreaking. I will be lost for us. The moment you have a daughter, you're like, because that's the mentality we've had. You know, that's the mentality we've had as boys. So your biggest fear becomes boys. Then I realize, I can't be the dad who pulls out a shotgun and intimidates my daughter's boyfriends and does all these things, you know, like the classical scene you see in Bad Boys. You know, I can't be that dad. But what I can be is a shining example of what kind of man she needs to be with.
Preach.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I set the bar high, then I know these skuskurs are not going to come close.
Boy, like, because that's a thing for me. I have three girls, right? And
you need three shotguns.
I win.
Bulaya.
And Muna, I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, you know, there's only so much you can protect them from.
Yes.
But when they have that example at home.
Yes.
Or as that first reference of how a man is.
Yes.
I remember the first time I heard of a guy, a father, and he was like, I take my daughter out for dates.
So that's what I was actually going to get to.
And bro,
I do that. I do that with my kid.
That's amazing. Like I heard of this, like way back when I was in varsity, I was like, oh, that sounds.
I heard of it from someone I was working with, one of the people I work with at Standard Bank. And he was like, this is what I do with my daughter. And ever since he told me that, I started doing that, you know, where it can be a casual thing or it can be a dress-up thing, you know? It's like, and she looks forward to that. She even, like, she wants outfits for that and a bag. And it's like, yes, we have a crazy family life and this and household and what. But there's time when it's just me and you. I'll put on a suit, she'll put on a whatnot. We'll go, I'll, you know, open the door for her, I'll put her in a seat, I'll pull out a chair for her, and we'll talk. We'll talk about, like, whatever. Because it's our time. That time is very important. It's very important. And to be honest with you, if I'm being dead honest with you, I never thought I'd be the liberal dad that I am. You know, like,
what do you think? How do you think you'd?
I thought I was going to be the Yengzuk Dubula, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, if my daughter comes to me in the next however many years and says, Dad, I'm into girls, I'm not going to send her to the church to try and pray the demons out of her. I'm gonna accept her choices in life, you know? I am in no way not saying that I'm not a strict and focused parent. I am a strict and focused parent when I need to be. But sometimes as a parent, you need to learn when to apply the gas and when to apply the brakes.
Feel you.
You know what I mean?
I get you, bro.
And I feel like we're learning each other, man. Like we didn't have that privilege from our parents.
Yeah.
I feel like our parents were shell-shocked, and that's how I want to put it. They were shell-shocked because they lived in a system that made their parents become a certain way.
Sure.
You know?
Like, I mean, like, even as you're talking about just still like this one-on-one interaction with your kid. Like for me now with my son, like you realize like the inverse of the story is that as much as you're raising a daughter, you now, right, there was a thing that I heard, a phrase I heard some years ago, that you're raising a woman.
Yeah.
You're raising a man.
Yep.
And that woman needs to meet a man at some point in her life. And I wish, my hope in how I raise my son is that he's the man that any woman would hope to meet at some point. And so it's like the one-on-one time that I build and that I have with him is different to what I would have with my daughters. Like I see, you know, two sides of the coin in this whole story. So like, again, man, that liberal thing is important because I think like I'm a bit more conservative. So when I see like my kids like do different things, like my son the other day, hey man, I had to watch my reaction. You know, my wife is painting all their nails and all that stuff, and then he's like, I want to paint my nails as well. And I was like, I was about to say to him, no. And I did. No, I did, bro.
Silent dog.
I did. I said to him, I'm like, bro, like boys don't paint their nails. Then afterwards, it hit me. Only afterwards. And I was like, yeah, damn, I shouldn't have said that.
Exactly.
And I don't wanna be pompous about this thing and say, no, I didn't say it. Like, yeah, he's free. But because we're gonna make mistakes as we go, but we understand the dynamics of what the repercussions of what that does. So I actually went to him and I said to him afterwards, I said, listen, I was wrong. If you want to paint your nails, it's fine. It doesn't define who you are. You just, dude, you're painting your nails. It doesn't, boy, girl, whatever. I'm not going to make it a sexist thing. You're painting your nails, bro. Like, he's 4 years old. What am I saying to him? I'm just like, boys don't do this. Now he's thinking like, oh, damn. And like, it crushed my heart. Like, and he came back and like, his sisters were painting their nails again. And I saw his hesitance. And I'm like, no, go do it.
Yes.
You know, because like, I have to like, be careful with what kind of things am I like creating.
Toxic
masculinity. That thing. You know. And it's just that. Like, we're privileged, I think, our generation, to know where our folks were, how we were brought up, and how do we correct it for our kids.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. And so, like, you as a man, knowing, like, the stereotypical ways of a guy, bravado, masculinity, and all these things it's what I grew up with when I was in school. It's how I kind of like saw it in the family dynamics.
Yeah.
But now I'm well aware that it's not okay.
Yeah.
And I have the opportunity to fix that for my daughter, for my son.
Yeah. I think, you know what? First of all, let me commend you by saying, like, thank you for actually saying, and not trying to sugarcoat it and say, no, I didn't react. It's okay to say that was my reaction.
Mm.
Because that's another thing. We're living in this like PC world where everyone has to start being like this and start. No, guys, there's a thing that needs to happen in order for us to get to that point.
Bro, it's 100%. Because, you know, there's this thing. And I mean, it's a bit more of a biblical term, but the definition is different. This term of repenting, it means changing the way that you think.
Yes.
Right. And it's like, because of where we are, you have to, like, subconsciously, you've taken all these things that you've learned, but it doesn't mean that they're okay. And so you have to, when you face that thing, whether, okay, girls only color in pink. You have that opportunity, knowing where you're from, that you have that opportunity to say no.
To correct it.
Yeah.
You are still in the process of unlearning that.
100%.
So sometimes
you make the mistake.
Yes. Yeah. You know, because I was reading something by Conrad Koch, who's a puppeteer, famous comedian in the country, Chester Missing's father. And he was like, there's a long way, because he was speaking on the topic of race and the whole Helen and what. And he's like, you know, don't listen to white people that are like, I am no longer racist. I am no longer what. He's like, we are on a journey to unlearning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we find ourselves doing things that don't make sense because there's still that unlearning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I myself, I'm not going to say I'm completely rid of
this thing. Yeah.
But I am learning to get rid of it every day.
100%.
And that's, you know, that's why we can't turn around and be shocked. Or, how could you do this in 2000 and what?
Yeah.
And still, people are unlearning.
Bro, I mean, like, I travel with the band Mikasa a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone is unlearning, because the nature of things now, like being aware of where we are as a society and what men think like, and it manifests in their actions. Now every dude is like thinking, the things that I'm saying, the way that I'm thinking, the way I'm responding to women.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Am I making them uncomfortable? Am I
making them uncomfortable? All these things. So like when we're traveling and there's a female in the room, or it's a client, or it's a promoter, whatever the case is, or there's a female passing by and she's amazing.
Yeah, then
you're like, yeah, you used to say, yes, it's now it's like,
no, guys, what are we doing?
And one of the things that we, like on the past recording, we were talking about the concept of guys calling each other out.
Yeah, we have to.
You know?
That's the thing, we have to, because that's what's going to allow us to help each other correct the behavior. And like, to go back to what you were saying about your son, this dude is 4, dog.
Yeah.
He only has sisters.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In life is a journey to self-discovery, you know? You get to a point in life where you know who you are.
Mm.
I can paint my nails today because I do it with my daughter.
Yes.
I paint my nails. I put makeup on my face.
Doesn't define you.
It doesn't define who I am. But I understand that this is me having fun with them. This is, you know, we playing dress up. It doesn't mean it's going to change my sexual orientation. And even if it does, so what? Maybe that's who I wanted to be.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's about, and back to what you're saying again, you have this responsibility to be this male figure in your daughter's life.
Sure.
But you have this responsibility to be this male figure in your son's life. And you can't be this bravado, daughter.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you need to, there's two things we were never taught until today. We have this issue in our families and black society. There's no such thing as depression. Depressed. There's real things happening in the world. He's walking with a limp. He's still here. We're not going to work at depression. So we were never taught mental and emotional intelligence.
Yes.
You know, we were never taught how to deal with those things. But now we have an opportunity to teach that to our kids, to teach that to our boys, to say, yo, dude, like,
this is not radio. So,
Kala boy.
Oh, we're not switching radio stations because of this. Because, you know, like, yesterday, I'm taking my kids to school, and then, one of the girls is crying in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son says, crying doesn't help. Hey. Then I'm like, hey, I switched off the radio. And then I'm like, boy, who told you that?
Yeah.
Like, my teacher told me that.
Mm.
And then I say to him, listen, if you want to cry, you cry.
Yeah.
If she wants to cry, she cries.
Yeah. Let it out.
Let it cry. And he's like, no, but my teacher's right. I mean, the dynamic for kids is like, their teachers, it's holy grail what their teachers say.
Yeah.
So I say to him, like, I'm like, listen, if I say something, that comes before what your teacher says. What we teach you at home comes first before what the school teaches you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that you, and I mean, he's 4, so I'm saying it in ways that he can understand as well. So, so I'm like, bring what you learn from school, bring it home. If there's something that we don't agree on, we are going to tackle it.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, boy, if you want to cry, you cry. And I saw him like change, because it was kind of like, I cry. Like he knows he cries a lot. Yes. So I'm like, are you now going to stop crying just because, like,
you were taught that, yeah.
So, I mean, those dynamics are set. Like, so when it happens, like, we are taught, why are you crying? Like, because if you're crying, then as a dude,
it's a sign of weakness.
Weak.
Yeah, it's a sign of weakness.
You know, and I'm like, bro, like, how, at some point now, you're going to start thinking, like, now you're weak because you want to cry.
And you know what the truth of the matter is? Because you are crying because you are weak.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to admit when you're weak. Cause,
that's powerful.
Because if I'm depending on you and I'm saying, dude, you know, we are building this house. Here, hold these bricks. And you don't say to me, listen, I'm not strong enough to handle this weight that you're giving me. And you just go, no, I'm fine. Keep adding. And I give pile these bricks on you. You're going to break. You're going to drop all this thing. You're going to end up costing everyone around you.
Bro, so, you know, bring it back to home for you.
Yeah.
You're a comedian.
Yes.
So my dynamic is different. Like you're taking me back. Like what you do took me back to high school.
Yeah.
Where, ka speed you or just in Polokwane, about heart. So which means that about kaela.
Yeah,
which means they're making fun of you.
Yeah.
And that was a thing. Like for boys, there was a thing and you never took it to heart.
Yes.
But there was always that one guy that took it to heart.
Yeah. 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 You know? Yeah.
And if you took it to heart, for guys are just like, relax.
Relax.
It's not. I'm glad I'm having this thing. You were that guy.
I was that guy.
And I was the guy that used to take it to heart. So and as you grow up, for dudes, it's like that thing is still a thing, right?
Yes.
And so most times guys don't share things because you're always in a space where guys don't want to be serious about things.
Yes. So you know what, one of the things I realized in my emotional and mental journey is that I realized what Machita, we don't speak. Like, let's just be honest, Machita, we do not speak. You will be someone's boy for 20 years. But you'll realize, I actually don't know what's going on inside this dude's head. I don't know how he's feeling. Do you know what I mean? If something happens in his life, then the remedy is, let's go out, let's go party. This guy's gone through a heartbreak. Let's go drink.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that's what you'd say to your friends. I'm not saying that. Hey,
sure.
Konji, we have to be PC.
Yeah.
I love all women. No woman is as fair unless she says she is. And that's okay because women are allowed to be whatever they want.
Yes.
And if she wants to make money doing that, that's fine. You must not judge her.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm a feminist, guys. But but we don't. Machita, aribui. We don't. We don't, you know, even when Machita have done something wrong, it takes us, it's a process.
Yo.
Like, we have to come together and say, gents, Usman Bani did this to his chick or hit. Then we go, that's wrong. Then we do a caucus. Then we speak to you once. Dog, this is not right. Go apologize. Go do this. Go make amends. Then that's it. No follow-ups, no nothing. We just hope you caught the message.
We told him. We did our part.
We saw Ntabiseng had a blue eye. We called a meeting with the gents. We spoke to him as gents, and that's it. Where's the follow-up? Where's the, you know, what are you doing? What are the steps? What not? Girls are far more emotionally intelligent creatures than us because girls talk about everything.
Bro,
they have this ability to just, like, if something's bothering them, they can sit, they can cry, they can talk, they can, because they have that. Rola, it's alone.
Bro, and you know, I heard a stat the other day that kind of, like, it touched me, man. They're like, the majority of the stats that are around suicide.
It's us.
Sit on dudes.
Yes. Young dudes. It's us.
Men.
And
I'm like,
keeping everything inside.
Yeah.
Everything is inside. Even a dude that has learned behavior. So you grew up in this household. Because there's two ways you can go about it. You can be like with me. I'm the dude that went, I'm not going to be that. So therefore, I'm this type of parent. I'm this type of son. But there are dudes who grow up and they grow up in abusive houses on this or that or that. And then they become that. And then they disappoint themselves.
Sure.
And then they bottle this thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just one day, this dude just snaps.
Bro, this kind of topic touches me on my studio because I struggled with depression for a while. I think like
same,
bro.
But we weren't. We grew up in a time when we actually weren't allowed
Even like I remember, bro. I remember Hey man, like it was so strong. I went, what year was that? Like, bro, I was like grade 8, grade 9. What was that? 13, 14 years old. 13, and 14, it was really heavy. And it wasn't like I was depressed by a different thing, by a situation or circumstance. I was just like, depression, sometimes you just can't define why you're depressed.
Exactly.
It just hits you. Like, so for some people, it's circumstantial. Like, we don't have money. For some people, it's heartbreak. For some people, it really just is psychological. It's just chemically something in your mind is just off. And for me, it was that. Like, I wasn't struggling with much. Like, I was fine. I was happy when I was with my boys. I wasn't like acting up, whatever. Mm. But like, sometimes I'll just be just down for no reason at all. And, you know, when I started noticing these things, like, my folks didn't know how to like respond to that. I mean, that's the flip side of it, is that our parents were not taught how to handle that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, for me,
as both clean and daughter, clean and daughter.
And so, like, when I, at some point, I just remember deciding that I'm not going to keep this in, because I made attempts at suicide. And, you know, like, thank God it didn't, you know, I didn't go through the end with this thing. But I mean,
oh, I thought you were going to say, thank God I was unsuccessful.
No, I took overdoses. I did all these stuff, pills and all these things. Yeah. And I remember at some point, my mom, if there's one thing that she kept record of, was like the medicine cabinet, is that it was in check. No one is touching things that they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I was, bro, I was doing overdoses of pills and all these things. And I remember at some point my mom caught wind of that and she didn't know how to react. And bless her soul, man, like, she's still alive, but what do you say? What do you do? Because you don't know, like, your son is doing these things. You're like, what the hell? Like, how? What do I say? What do I do? But at the same time, I'm like, I can't communicate what's going on in my head.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't have boys around me that I can communicate with, because
I'm going through this thing. That time, you are squad deep. You've got a squad of 12 dudes,
bro.
You know what I mean? So, and I'll tell you, hi, Fizz Must Fall. Hi. Thank you for everything you did for the movement for Fizz Must Fall. Thank you, Mama. All right. So here's what I'm going to say to you. And it's something I mentioned a little bit earlier. I said to you, yo, dude, you know, it's either you choose, you decide, I'm not going to be this. Like, I'll give you an example. Kevin Hart's dad's a drug addict.
Mm.
So when he grew up, he was like, I'm never going to be that. I'm going to do my best never to touch or do whatever. So I can relate to exactly everything that you're saying, because I went through the same thing at your age, right? And unfortunately for me, my dad was the one that committed suicide. So I decided, whatever I do in life, no matter how rough things get, I will never get myself to that point. Even though I myself had suicidal thoughts, wanted to, but I was like, I am not going to put my family through that. I'm not going to, do you know what I mean?
Bro.
But I was dealing with this on the inside. And
for
me, I'm like, we've been through this in our journey to get to where we are. How do we then start to recognize it with our kids? Because we can't say, you know, this started affecting me in grade 8 when I was 13. What if for Wanabaruna it's different? What if they start going through these things at the age of 9? Do you know what I mean? So as modern or current dads, how do we then, because we've recognized the flaw in the way we came up or the way we grew up, how do we then
become better?
How do we become better? And I think for me it's about taking away the title of parent, like it's a role to play, you know, that, which brings me back to the same thing I said to you about like, were you a dad before you came a dad? Do you know what I mean? So forget the title of I'm a dad, or you are not this one dimensional thing. You are your child's everything, dude.
Bro, thank you for being here.
Hey,
appreciate
man.
It.
Hey man, it's nice to have other fathers. Yeah. Paganea, we know you're a father of 8 with 6 mothers.
Joe, thank you. Guys, that's it for today. Peace.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. Hashtag Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.